Welcome to Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture. I'm Shelby Varner. Today, we're joined by American Farm Bureau Federation economist Shelby Myers and a Kansas Farm Bureau member, Josh Mueller. Thank you guys both so much for taking the time to join us today.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Josh, fuel prices are increasing substantially. They're not only impacting the people driving up and down the road every day, but they're impacting businesses and organizations. And specifically today, we're going to talk about how they're impacting agricultural operations. Can you share a little bit about what your operation is and then how the fuel prices have impacted you?
So our operation here in central Kansas, basically our farm and ranch comprises of wheat production. We raise milo, corn, soybeans. We do raise some hay. And then the bulk of our operation has to do with cattle. We have a small cow herd. We do some custom backgrounding as well as our own. We feed cattle in commercial feed yards. And so we're heavily involved in the livestock industry, as well as I'm a broker for farmers and ranchers. And we also own and operate El Dorado Livestock, which is a auction barn in El Dorado, Kansas. And as far as the fuel prices, I mean, yes, obviously, it's affecting everybody. But when you're in production agriculture or in a business where there's heavy traffic, you know, freight to and from, it's been a huge issue in our business, both on the production side and as well as the sale barn side. When you talk about fuel levels have nearly doubled, or basically have doubled. I actually looked today. This time last year, we were paying $2.45 for farm fuel, and today I think we're paying $4.61 at the pump. So virtually doubled in price in 1 year.
You're involved in a lot of different aspects of agriculture. Have you had to go ahead and make adjustments to offset that increase in prices, or if you haven't, what are your plans to?
Well, it's definitely, you know, in the past, we look at fuel as just a basic need for production and operation. And it's something that we always are looking at as far as trying to contract some out in the future, trying to decide what the price is going to do. Luckily, commodity prices have risen some in the last year or 18 months. And so that's offsetting some of the fuel charges. But honestly, when you talk about doubling the cost, you know, it draws your mind closer to it, and it's something that we pay a little closer attention to. We're even more involved in contracting and want to protect those expenses. It's just become a bigger line item in our expense budget.
What was that initial reaction when you saw the prices starting to rise?
Oh, no, here we go again. It was pretty drastic to start with, and then it just started creeping up and creeping up. And then before you know it, like I said, we're double the cost. And so it really makes it challenging to sit here in the country and decide, well, is it going to go much higher, or is it going to pull back? When's a good time to contract some fuel? And so making those decisions is probably a little more agonizing than it has been in the past. But unfortunately, we don't really have a lot of options. I mean, it takes fuel to run tractors and run combines and run semis to haul cattle down the road. And so it's a necessity, and we just try to have to manage the best that we can.
Jumping over to you, Shelby, now, in Kansas, we're obviously feeling the effects. According to your article, really everyone's feeling the effects. What are some of the factors that have caused this increase?
Yeah, I mean, we're certainly seeing all growers and all Americans facing higher prices at the pump. And, you know, many of our growers have not only expressed concerns about rising prices, but also availability and delivery of the fuel when they need it most. And so we're certainly going to monitor that throughout the spring. And the U.S. Energy Information Administration updates monthly what costs go into a gallon of gasoline and a gallon of diesel. And so updated May 2022 numbers have it broken out that about 47% of the cost of a gallon of diesel is associated with crude oil. And then 25% of a gallon of diesel is associated with the cost of refining. And then 17% is distribution and marketing. And then about 10% right now is running on taxes. So obviously supply and demand of crude oil is really going to be a huge factor and the price that we're paying, as well as, you know, refinery. And so when we look at crude oil overall, you know, certainly see a lot of slowdowns from COVID-19, where the U.S. economy has been constantly trying to play catch up from production slowdowns and interruptions that were created by COVID-19. And then you added in a whole bunch of additional hurdles like Russia's invasion of Ukraine that's really impeded the ability for supply to catch up with demand. And even looking at inventories for diesel, you know, compare the first week of June this year to the first week of June last year, diesel inventories were about 21% behind where they were last year. And while it's normal for the U.S. to be lower in inventories through the spring and summer months because of increased demand by road travelers, what we're seeing right now is that this situation is more difficult because the U.S. does not have the same amount of additional supplies needed to supplement the increased demand like we normally do.
Can people be expecting to continue to see a bit of rise in prices?
Oh, there's a number of factors that are going to influence that. And you know what? It does take a lot of time. And I think for consumers and farmers in particular, and Josh made a really great point that growers are looking at ways to mitigate their price risk. So, you know, are there ways to hedge your fuel costs leading into the fall so that you're not paying a really expensive bill all at once, but you're kind of pricing it throughout then? What we're keeping an eye on is the ability for the U.S. to return to its closer peak production levels of crude oil right around December of 2019. We were producing about 400 million barrels of crude oil per month. Right now, we're a lot lower than that, and we're producing closer to about 360, 340, depending on what month we're looking at, 360 million in between that range. And so really trying to get back to those peak production levels will be a huge factor in our ability to have domestic crude oil supply, but we're also exporting quite a bit. And part of that is market structure that's going on globally. So there is a large push to fill global demand for crude oil over in the EU as well as Latin America that the US is supplying to them. Part of that is just market dynamics, and that holding inventories of crude oil for more than 30 days is not economically feasible for many of those companies. And so right now it's more advantageous to sell off as opposed to hold on to crude oil inventories. And you're seeing that. The other factor that will really influence this is the ability for U.S. domestic company to have the regulatory flexibility needed to make up supply. So that's looking at regulatory flexibility for crude oil production, and as well as refinery capacity and our ability to not only run at 100% capacity, but find ways to grow that in such a short amount of time. So we're in a very supply sensitive market. One short step could really cause more trouble and could cause rising fuel prices. One thing that really will throw it off is Mother Nature and whether or not hurricane season hits an area that's refining diesel or contributing to offshore production that messes it all up again.
So a ton of factors are really playing into, and it's almost just a guessing game right now to know where it's going to be.
Yeah, there's certainly just a number of market dynamics at play, and crude oil and diesel and gas are all global commodities, which is not new to farmers and ranchers. We're used to our commodities like corn, soybeans, and wheat playing on a global market and influencing prices there. I think what's most frustrating is that you're watching it from about a few steps behind being able to produce it and being able to control that. And so your only saving grace is being able to mitigate price risk. And that's not a comforting situation to be in when we also have rising input prices and a number of other factors for on-farm production, like fertilizer, like pesticides, like seed, you know, you name it, it's increased this year.
What's really going to take the U.S. to do to get back to those peak production quantities and hopefully balance out some prices?
The biggest thing will be, you know, crude oil production companies need regulatory flexibility, and refiners need a business environment that fosters certainty and increases their domestic capacity to deliver. You know, those are the two biggest costs contributing to gasoline and diesel prices right now. And so having the ability to do that here in the U.S. to avoid any kind of export hurdles or additional transportation costs that would contribute to an even higher price of fuel would certainly be advantageous. And then finding ways to mitigate prices for farmers will be really important.
From your article, there's a mention in there that there is slight hope that prices may lower next year, but there's a lot of uncertainty with that. Do you have hope that they're really going to lower, or should we just hold on and prepare for higher prices continuing?
You know, it's anybody's guessing game right now in regards to what prices will do next. There are certainly some indications right now in the U.S. economy that are alluding to maybe we've hit that peak point. It's almost too early to say whether or not that's really the case. For diesel and gasoline in particular, we're still seeing rising prices. And so the actions that are taking place today are going to have a lag time. And, you know, we do see for USDA estimates that USDA estimates that the cost of production in regards to that fuel line item is likely to go down next year ever so slightly. But these are still very early estimates. And I think the important thing to remember is we estimate a lot of things early on, and you just can't predict what's going to happen next. And so anything we can do to try to work in the short term for long-term gains will be really important.
With all the information and all of your knowledge, what advice do you just have for agricultural producers at this time?
I don't love to give risk mitigation advice or anything like that. I'm not a marketer by any means, but one of the things that we've suggested for farmers and ranchers is looking at their risk to price increases and finding ways to reduce costs creatively. There is a crop insurance product available called the Margin Protection for Federal Crop Insurance that can insure for some of the input prices farmers would use. That includes diesel and fertilizer, but it's only limited to a few states and only for corn, soybeans, rice, and wheat. It's certainly a product that's received a lot of attention over the last year and a half because of rising input costs. And so there's conversations about how do you find ways to expand that as part of the 2023 Farm Bill, but we're still a ways off. So the other suggestion I have, and Josh kind of alluded to this, is the conversations with your local fuel retailers about how can we price hedge and utilize on-farm fuel storage so that we can spread costs out across when we're not using a heavy amount of fuel, and then hedge against price increases that may be on the horizon and unexpected.
Thank you, Shelby, for that input. Josh, hopping back to you, with hearing all this information from Shelby, what does the future look like for you?
You know, like she alluded to, it's anybody's guess. I guess we're just hopeful that, you know, we do see some light at the end of the tunnel, maybe with the elections this November. You know, maybe it's some administration changes. We can roll back some of the regulation, increase production. Again, as a producer out here, we're going to try to get creative, look at different ways of farming. You know, maybe reduce the tillage amount. We may reduce irrigation and just accept lower yields just based on fuel prices. You know, obviously in the cattle business, trucking is one of the biggest drivers. Price drivers, and we're into a season here, especially in Kansas, when we start talking about the Flint Hills of Kansas and all the cattle that are going to be moving off of there in the next 30 to 45 days. It will affect what we can get for those cattle just based on freight prices rising by probably upwards of 30-40% versus a year ago. And so again, like I said, we're going to get creative. It's good to hear that maybe, you know, I've heard some others mention that we might be at the height of this inflation cycle. That would be nice. But at the same time, we're probably not going to plan on that at this time. We're just, again, going to try to get creative, maybe mix up some different practices that we're using and just pay attention a little closer. Because like I said, we really don't have a lot of options as far as, you know, switching over to a different energy source, or, you know, it's a necessity of ours, and we want to manage it the best that we can. And it's just going to be a day-to-day factor.
Absolutely. Thank you guys both so much for taking the time to hop on here and share your knowledge with us.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be with y'all.
You bet. Thanks for having us.
That was Kansas Farm Bureau member Josh Mueller and American Farm Bureau Federation economist Shelby Myers, talking about the increase in fuel prices related to agriculture. If you would like to read more on this topic, you can go find Shelby's article at fb.org, and it's titled "Rising Fuel Costs Continue to Impact Farmers." I'm Shelby Varner, and this has been Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture.